Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for, or the scripture assigned for this day is a lovely and very brief Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brothers and presumably sisters to dwell in unity. And how tough and how disappointingly difficult it can be, and frustratingly difficult, sometimes even infuriatingly difficult. We know that from home, brothers and sisters, right? And we just know it, and it's just something that happens, and we kind of accept it and sort of write it off as normal. I don't know how we get to that so easily. Maybe it's sometimes when we get blindsided in church contexts where it really hurts. Congregations, seminary, synod, to say nothing of trying to deal with brothers and sisters sometimes out of our own church family. How good it is, but how tough. How tough it is even to dwell with ourselves in unity, in singleness of heart with God. That's, I suppose, the burden of a post-Genesis 3 life. Especially when the drive is there to locate ourselves in ourselves, which in the nature of things distances us from other folks out there and puts us in tension with other folks out there who are doing the same thing. When we locate ourselves in ourselves rather than in God, who alone is the basis of the unity, of course it's going to slip. How good and pleasant and how difficult. And therefore, how rare it is. And therefore, how precious it is. And how good. Good in the way that Genesis 1 talks about good. That stamp that the Lord put on the world, right? And he did it how many times? Good. He invented good. He gave us good. And the good we're talking about is that kind of good. And it's hard to get there. And if it's rare, then where do you go for it? Where do you see it? Where do you find it at work? And it doesn't happen just by wishing it. And it doesn't happen by superficializing it. It doesn't happen by theologizing it, and it doesn't happen by spiritualizing it, and Lord knows it doesn't happen by legislating it. These tend to be our ways of messing with a gift that can only be given. And the more you mess with it, the more you screw it up. The more you turn it into one more in that long list of someday I'm going to get at it things. And of course we never will. Never really can. How pleasant and how good it is for for brothers and sisters to dwell in unity. We know how tough it is. Thing is, the word still stands there. It just keeps coming back to us. And that's, I suppose, because it's not a word of judgment. It's a word of promise. It's a word of invitation. It's a word of vision. It's a word of gift. By, happily today anyhow, by divine serendipity, mediated through the serendipitous dean of the chapel, I think that's his title, serendipitous dean, I love it, of the chapel. This gem of a psalm is paired with the reading we just had from the catechism, leading us to the sacrament of the altar. Another one of those gifts, right? Another one of those things that we don't manufacture. A meal hosted by the Lord. A meal in which he calls together those whom he has redeemed and whom he has forgiven and those whom he has cleansed. And he calls us to his table. I didn't read the absolute beginning of the psalm. It says, a song of ascents. This is one of those songs that Israel sang as they were moving together, right? Moving on up through the foothills toward Zion. In some ways, I suppose, probably as close as the people of Israel ever got to each other. And as pleasant a time as it was being together. And it is to his table that the Lord calls us up. And he invites us where he is central, where his body and blood are the gift given for us and given to us and given in us and given among us, where what goes on is not just our commemorating this spectacular gift, at least not only that, but emerging from it, fed together, and cleansed together, united in what he has done for us and in us. How good and pleasant it is to come at his invitation into his presence, gathered around his altar. This is where it happens, where it maybe happens best. Maybe this is as close as we get to the Zion that was the focus of those pilgrims heading up the mountain. How good and pleasant. Here is where what is ordinary and common, bread, which doesn't really taste all that good as we have it here in churches all too often, bread and wine bear body and blood. How good it is. How pleasant it is to be fed. Here it is where what is disappointingly difficult and frustratingly tough can be touched by the God who transforms bread and wine into body and blood. Here it is that what seems difficult is not self-deception. It's real. Rare? Yeah. Tough? Yeah, it is. Partial? Yeah, we got to say that too. Compromised even by, you know, who we are and what we bring to it? Yeah, all of that. But real. Real. How pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. I say that to you individually. each of you, some of whom I don't even know yet. I say that to us as a body here. How pleasant. What a spectacular gift. Dwelling together in unity in Christ.